The first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might himself be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. And the Gospel reading is from St. Luke, chapter 10. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test him and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveller who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbour to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The parable of the Good Samaritan is one of the perfect stories we find in the Gospels, so perfect that further words can seem redundant, which does not prevent those further words from being uttered, even here. The lawyer's intention is to test Jesus, to disconcert him, as another translation puts it. Jesus will have disconcerted the lawyer far more fundamentally than the other way round. First of all, by his radical answer to the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbour?" cutting through whatever debates might have been going on about this in scholarly or religious circles, Jesus simply says, "Anybody and everybody you happen to come across who needs your help." There is no question of trying to decide where the boundaries of neighbourliness are to be set. Anybody, everybody, in need of your help is someone who calls on you to be a neighbour. And that is the second way in which the reply of Jesus is disconcerting. As so often, he turns the question around, turning it into an active rather than a passive one. "Who is my neighbour, so that I should be kind to him?" is the lawyer's question. "Which of them was neighbour to the man who fell among robbers?" is Jesus' question. The passive aspect of the question has been cleared up. Anybody and everybody can be someone to whom you should be neighbourly. Now, what does it mean to be neighbourly? And how do we find the resources within ourselves to live like that? That can make the parable seem like a moral tale, purely and simply. Follow the example of the Samaritan in the story. Go and do the same yourselves. Where to find the ability, though, to act like this? And particularly where our neighbour is not someone towards whom we have any natural attraction. This is where a very ancient interpretation of the parable can help us. According to this interpretation, the Good Samaritan is Jesus. The one who has fallen by the road is every man, the human being in need of salvation. The Word of God, the Eternal Son, comes to help lift us up and restore us to health and to life. Other aspects of the story are then interpreted to fit with this. The oil and the wine are the sacraments of the church that heal and strengthen. The inn is the church, the innkeeper, the ministers of the church, and so on. Placed as it is here with readings from Deuteronomy and Colossians, it seems appropriate to recall this ancient Christological reading of the parable. The word is very near to you, we hear in the first reading. Yes, in the neighbour, we can say. The call of neighbourliness is right beside me, in front of me, coming around the corner. But in the word incarnate, the law has come very near to us. And through the scriptures that we hear and the sacraments that we receive, the word comes into us and abides in us. So the more we come to know Jesus and his way of being towards us, the more we belong to him and live from his spirit, the stronger will be our hope of finding within ourselves the resources to live like the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the image of the unseen God, we hear in the second reading. God present in him comes to our assistance to lift us out of our difficulty and set us on our feet again. So it is not just a moral tale, an encouraging story of an admirable deed to encourage us to be moral in our turn. On this interpretation, today's liturgy taken as a whole is also a reminder of how we can become like Christ, getting to know him, remembering the ways in which we have been helped when we have been needy and distressed, finding the capacity within ourselves to bring comfort to others who are afflicted just as we have ourselves been comforted. It is a perfect story then, not just as a wonderful moral tale from the ancient world. It is also yet another door to the perfect story, the coming to dwell among us of the Word of God, full of wisdom and mercy, sharing his life and his spirit with us so that we might have some hope of living according to the great commandment he has identified. We can all say in words what that commandment is. Go and do likewise. Put it into practice. You have only to carry it out.